Hey guys, this is Kai Futaculture. I am the creator of Futaculture, also former co-founder of Jackfruit, and I currently run my own marketing agency here in the Bay Area.
Welcome to The Vietnamese. I'm your host, Kenneth Nguyen. Being part of a culture of nearly 100 million Vietnamese people in the world today comes with a lot of pain, proud history, and privilege. Join me as I highlight and explore the Vietnamese experience from all over.
Heard a lot about you throughout the years, and here we are.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
So can we go back to the early days? Because I want to have some in I want to be informed about your journey in the social media
Sure.
game, and I want to talk about your early days at Jackfruit.
Prior to Jackfruit, just to give a little bit of context and background, back in 2010, I started this Vietnamese apparel brand called Three Stripes Clothing. It was a Vietnamese-centric clothing brand, a t-shirt brand that I had started, showcasing, kind of like my childhood and upbringing here in America. So there's like a lot of, influence behind the designs, with my background. So I made some t-shirts that I'm sure many people have seen before. So have you ever seen this Vietnamese coffee Starbucks logo t-shirt on the internet or in Vietnam? Well, I'm the one that designed it back in 2010 before it was ceremoniously bootlegged in Vietnam and now currently sold in markets throughout the country. And I also came up with this other t-shirt that said Pho King Delicious in like a Burger King style logo,
Yeah.
parody type of design. And that too also got bootlegged in Vietnam. So those two shirts are actually still hanging on stalls throughout the country. I'll still see them in random, like, travel vloggers that go to the markets in Vietnam and see them hanging up there on those stalls. So, which is cool. But the segue here to Jackfruit is that back then, Cameron Vollie and David Nguyen, rest in peace to the both of them,
Rest in peace.
they were part of this nightclub promotion group called Endless Entertainment. This is in San Jose, California. And David at the time reached out to me when he saw the t-shirt brand. And he said, "Hey, let's do a kickoff event. Like let's promote the brand." I say, "Sure, let's do it. Sounds great." So we did like this whole big kickoff party, launch party for the brand. And I had then a few weeks later told them, like, "Hey, I appreciate what you guys did." And I had always had this idea brewing in my mind about doing something for the Asian American community. So I got together with David and Cameron. We all sat down. It was at a Quickly's boba shop in downtown San Jose. I remember very vividly. And we just kind of like sat together and started talking about, hey, is there an opportunity for us to create a platform for Asian Americans, in entertainment? And this was during the YouTube years of like the prime YouTube years. Do you remember like Timothy De La Ghetto, Wong Fu Productions? This is like 2011. So we all kind of agree that, hey, there is an opportunity to leverage our skills and our network and our abilities to create that platform. This is prior to Jackfruit even having a name. That name also came from Cameron. So he is the one that coined the name Jackfruit. And then we also, because these people love Jackfruit, right? It's also the Asian community as well. So when we decided that Jackfruit was a name, we also thought about, let's change the fruit part to have the word root incorporated into it, which is why it's spelled that way. So obviously just an homage to all of our different ethnic backgrounds, to like really go back to our roots and be proud of it. So that's where the name came from, and that's just how it all came about. And then we decided to make it official back in 2011.
And who came up with the direction of what to post?
So if you want to talk about early days, we had a website prior to social, like Instagram being where it is today. I actually was inactive in Jackfruit since 2017. So everything since 2017 was purely David went. He was really in charge of taking Jackfruit, and he's really the one responsible, honestly, for its growth over the last 3 4 years, right? Prior to his passing. So he, I would say that Jackfruit was really a reflection of who he was,
Yeah.
right? Very passionate about equality, very passionate about, everything that was happening around, Stop Asian Hate,
Yeah.
right? And also Black Lives Matter. And that's just, like I said, that's just who he was, right? And also like how he would showcase other people, talent, or showcasing other people's content and stuff like that on Jackfruit. And I would say that that was pretty much really him. And he also built a great contribution team to a contributor team, right? So he did build up a team that would help in terms of finding content as well to post, and then at the same time, just in general, keeping up with the theme of Asian American content. So.
So knowing that Jackfruit took this sort of the broader Asian American approach, what made you decide to drill down on the Vietnamese culture? Because pho de culture is a very
Yeah.
Vietnamese reference.
Correct. I would say that 3 months ago, I started posting more on my page, which used to be my apparel page. So pho de culture, I was being very, I was very, it was very stagnant. I would post here and there. And sometimes when I would post, like for example, there was this one video of these three gentlemen dancing to that viral Vietnamese song, Sithen, right? And that one, when I posted that like early, late last year, in 2022, it got like over 1 million views from my profile, which only had like 1,000 followers. And so back in June, I posted like a few other videos that went really viral. And I started saying to myself, well, if I do this consistently, maybe I can actually provide a platform for, Vietnamese content creators. So when I started doing that more consistently, it started growing rapidly. And to answer your question, why did I drill down on the Vietnamese culture? Well, me being Vietnamese is part of that. But also, part of me realized that the mission that I had at Jackfruit, I feel like Jackfruit's doing its own thing now, right? In terms of like the leadership there, and what they're doing. But I know that in terms of what I always wanted to do was be like a platform to showcase talent, right? Showcase these creators, showcase all these creative individuals. Doesn't matter if they're in dance, comedy, food, etc. I wanted it to be a platform so that other people can discover people, right? And the people that I've showcased on Photo Culture thus far, a lot of them went from being pretty relatively unknown, actually building a following. And I'm not saying I take the credit for that, but I'm just saying that that's my goal, is to like, hey, you may have never seen this person before, or you may have never came across their content. Now that you're following here, here's your chance to see them, and then you become their follower, or you become a lover of what they do, right? So
I love the explanation because, I come from this very, I don't call myself an old man, but sometimes I look at a page and I'm like, I can't figure out like what's the binding themes. And then
Right.
when you explain it, I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a dork. Because yeah, you're right. Everything that you post is really about people doing something in the culture. I mean, obviously pho de culture, but I could see the through line now. And I feel such an idiot for not picking up on that. But what you do is in the job of amplifying people for all over the world in the Vietnamese
Correct.
culture.
That's right. Yeah, that's my goal. And I want to take that another step further. And I do have some plans for that 2024. But we'll get into that. I wanted you to ask your questions. But yeah, I just wanted to answer that question about Fetta culture.
Sure. So what's your process in picking these videos? Like, what's your criteria? What's the metric? How do you figure that out?
I'll tell you this. In the most simplest form, if I find it entertaining and I actually watch it through, that's the one I pick. And it sounds so simple, but there's times when I do watch content and I'll see, I'm always scouring, to check out what's going on out there. And some just doesn't really hit me. It's not really about,
It being good or not.
yeah, being good or not. Or it doesn't matter if they have like little amount of followers or a lot of followers.
Yeah.
That None of that matters. It really comes down to like if I enjoyed it, because I feel that if I enjoyed it, more people, other people will also enjoy it, right? Now, I could be wrong sometimes, right? I'm not saying that everything that I post is always going to go viral or do great, but in general, I typically make sure that I thoroughly enjoyed it, and then I end up saying like, okay, I'll pick this one and post it. But then again, I go through this process where I actually reach out to the creator themselves, ask them for permission, and I try to make it a very thoughtful process, right? It's not just like grabbing and posting. I try to make it like a very seamless process for both the creator and for ourselves too. So.
I want to go back to this idea of we as people who pick things that resonate with us. That's a
Correct.
common theme that you and I are having right now. Is
Right.
I feel you on that because I don't care how big, how small, how relevant to the world this person is. If I find their story interesting, I just want to go in and just spend time and hanging out, like talking and getting to know who they are and discover all
Exactly.
these small gems about their lives.
Yeah, that's the way I approach content creation or the content that I consume, is that if it just strikes that chord with you,
Yeah.
right? If it just hits you where you're like, wow, that was funny or powerful or emotional, whatever it is, right? I will tend to use that content for the profile. So, yeah. And I also, oh, sorry, go
Yeah,
ahead.
go ahead. Good. Also, what?
Yeah. And I also, besides reposting or sh amplifying other people's work, I also made it a point to create original content from Photoculture as well. So I'm not sure if you've noticed on my page, I have original memes that I've done that are memes that are common within American culture, but I add that Vietnamese twist to it,
Right.
right? And I think that's also been one of the opportunities that I've had to help the growth of the profile, because this is now content that you don't see anywhere else, right? So I've always been a big believer of having original content. Jackfruit was the same back then. We really strive to do original content that you can't find anywhere else, and I believe that that's been a big part of the process too here, is that I've done original content on top of
Yeah.
showcasing other people. So
I had a deep debate last night with a dear friend of mine. He goes, it's time that you amplify Asian Americans because we've made it. I was like, have we
Interesting.
made it? Yeah, it's interesting. And I'm like, let's define that. What does that even mean that we made it? And for the record, whether we made it or not, for me, that's not what's actually important. What's important
Right.
just to me is my curiosity about lives of people in the Vietnamese community. And they could be white people too, could be Mexicans, it could be anybody that if they have a story that's very relevant to the Vietnamese culture, I want to just dig in and know about it.
Right.
But let's just go back to that question. I mean, do you ever think, I mean, made it? That's such a weird, do you ever feel that way? Like, have we made it?
I don't think we've made it, and I'll tell you this. I'm very, aware of the social landscape, right? Just in general. So I still realize the struggles that even the African American community still go through. Okay. And they've been here way longer than we have, right? They've had their own struggles, their own battles, and they still struggle with that till this day, right? And I would say that they've established themselves incredibly well
Far,
in
far
every aspect.
beyond, yeah.
Yeah.
They've
Oh,
arrived,
yeah.
but they still struggle.
Exactly. So we've been here for, let's just say, in terms of the spread of Vietnamese culture, it's post 1975, right? And we'll get into that in a little bit, because this is a good topic there to talk about. But for us, let's say close to 50 years now, although parts of our culture have become mainstream, just because they sell spring rolls at Cheesecake Factory, it doesn't mean that we've made it,
I
right?
agree.
Because I think we have so much more opportunity ahead of us, because even as a community, we're not united
Yes.
yet. And I believe that until that day comes is when we've actually, quote unquote, made it,
But
when we can come together.
what does
Yeah.
that look like when we come together? I mean, formally and on, like, if you were to do it like a business, a KPI metric driven
sure.
index, right? What does that look like when we come together?
To me, when we come together, we don't let the politics get between us, right? And I know that goes deep, and that's a really tough conversation to have, but it's a conversation worth having because it's the one thing that I feel like it's holding back us as a Vietnamese community from rallying together as one versus seeing each other as, you know, BQ or, you know, people that live in Vietnam, right? So I think it's one of those things where that's something that would be able to be, we would be able to discuss here, but it's just more like not letting the things that have separated like our parents' generation from the overall Vietnamese community and understanding the opportunities and potential that we have together as like one unit, it's probably like the way that would, that's how it would look. All right.
Let me address that because even with our own family, let's say at dinner at Thanksgiving, there's 12 of us sitting at the dinner table with 12 members of Vietnamese people or even white people or any Mexican groups. With 12 people at the dinner table, there's going to be 14 different thoughts about a certain issue. So that's going to be always a complicated thing for the idea of labeling us as a community of as having arrived or made it, you know? So that's a tough metric. But I get what you're saying because this three red stripe and this yellow star flag, that's going to be like a never ending debate. And where do we fall on that? That we can go into infinity discussing this topic. It's just, how do you even approach this? We will never make it, quote unquote, if we just based on that, you know, alone, it's
That's probably been one of the biggest things that I've tried to establish on Photoculture, I'll be honest with you. If you've noticed, if anyone's been following the page for the last couple of months, I don't bring that up at all. Mm-hmm. And it's with intention.
Yeah.
Right. I want to show people that whether I'm showing you content or creators in Vietnam or from someone from the US or someone from Australia, we're all one community.
We're all one community.
Let's look at it that way for a moment. I'm not saying that I can change everyone's perspective, but the one thing I can say is when you're on the Photoculture, you will not be focused on that at all.
I can respect that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can respect that. Yeah. Because
so if
not talking about it, we'll basically make it sort of, it'll mute the background of that discussion. And is that discussion really important for the new generation?
I think historical context is always important. I think understanding where we came from and what had transpired will always be part of our history, right? It would always be a part of who we are and how we came about. But will that hold me back from making connections with people that live by a different flag? No, not for me, at least.
Yeah.
To each their own, and I respect everybody's personal stance on anything in life, but when it comes to this page, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
right. You're not gonna see me anti this, anti that, just because, you know.
You know, for guys my generation and a little bit older, you know, in their 50s. It's the analogy of like two brothers in Vietnam, you know, killing each other, or groups of brothers and sisters killing each other, and then we're like the people who are born from those families, and we're like now in flesh, and now we're like it's so awkward to talk to our cousins, right? I mean, that's what literally we are. We are one big family, and we're like trying to navigate that conversation of like, your dad killed my dad killed your brother, you know, your brothers, all of that shit is so messy. But if we are intentional about just moving forward and being cousins and families, again, I think that's
Yes.
the beauty of our next generation.
I agree. I've had this conversation a lot with some close friends, and I always tell them this. The silver lining, I'll never discredit and take away anything that happened to anyone, after the war, right? People died. It was a tragic event, 100%. But the silver lining in that is that the spread of Vietnamese culture would have never been as rapid as it is today without that event. And for most people like me, I would have never been born. And people sometimes counter say, "Oh, well, you would have just been born in Vietnam." I was like, "No, actually, I would have never been born at all because my parents are from two different cities. They would have never met each other because they met each other at the refugee camp, right?" So even my origin is due to the war. And we have to just kind of understand that we can't change the past. We can only control our future. It's the truly the way I look at it, right? And I would say within our Vietnamese community, that holds true. No matter how much heartache or how much trauma our families have been through, the best thing we could ever do for them is to be a united front and continue to spread our culture and the beauty of our culture, right, around the world and evolve it at the same time. Right. That's the best thing we could ever do for our families that have made that sacrifice to get here. Right. So yeah, I think that's just one of those things I always talk about with my friends when we would talk about like the war and the fall of Saigon, right? It's just, without all of that, we wouldn't be here today. So.
You know, I'm starting to notice how well all the creators, influencers in our community work well with each other. I haven't really met somebody who's like bad enough to go, we gotta all band together and write that guy or that girl off, right? I haven't really encountered that, but I think in the last few years of my work, every person that I've really encountered with this work is, generally just good people and not very, they don't have the traits, the toxic traits that our parents had with their community. It just seems like a very enlightened and more aware group. And I would even probably credit that to watching how fucked up our parents were to, their community almost.
It's part of our upbringing, really. I grew up in a diverse community in the Bay Area, and what our parents went through growing up in Vietnam, it's just a completely different dynamic, right? I can't even imagine what life was like. Not to say that they grew up in a toxic community, but we all know how toxic the households can be, right? And it still comes down, I mean, I'm an only child, but I remember being compared to my parents' family's ch children. Like, this one's going to become a doctor. Or, if you're siblings, you're getting that kind of, like,
Pressure.
being, pressure and, like, pit up against each other. So, and that's a result of what happened to them in their household. Our grandparents did the same to our parents, which is why I got passed down. The thing that's changing now is we're able to control that dynamic, and we're able to see that, hey, what happened then, like how I grew up, I will not pass that on to my family, right? And I will not pass that energy to the people I connect with, which is like what you just mentioned earlier. I don't feel that at all. Everyone that I connected to, the energy has been so positive. We all see like this common goal that we all want to reach, even as individuals. We can still help each other get there, right? We all may have individual goals, but it doesn't mean that we can't support each other. And so far, the support has been, resounding, and it's been a great, it's been a breath of fresh air for sure. So.
Yeah, I would love to shout out a few people that I've worked with, and particularly in the Bay Area, in the beginning. Obviously David over at Jackfruit, he was very supportive, and Ty from Asians Never Die, Mike from Asian Menswear. These are all guys from the Bay Area, and then down south here in LA, we have Little Saigon, Chris Tran over at Little Saigon. Just like homies, and Linda Dong and Stephen Ho, and all these wonderful people that have just been very supportive in the community.
Yeah, 100%. I'm friends with Ty as well, and and Chris from Little Saigon, and shout out to Johnny Wynn from
Johnny
BQ as
Wynn,
well,
dude, that's my boy.
doing his thing. It's the thing where we all see the opportunity in front of us. And I think right now, this is probably the probably our biggest moment and chance that we've had as a community, because we are so more established, we're so well established now than we were maybe 5, 10 years ago, right? We know so much more, and we understand how we can actually build this thing together. Even though we are building our own things, it's still going to take this village, right, to really propel our the next generation, of the Vietnamese community, right, to be where we want it to be. And for me, I just want representation, right, accurate representation, and just the ability to say, hey, there's talent out there that everyone should at least see once in their life, and these people that are doing it, they're doing it because they love doing it, right? And I always want to be a support, so I want to be supportive of that, right? There's this one gentleman, his name is Raymond Lee. He does these funny videos with his mom where he's pranking his mom, and he's just amassed such a great following. And and what I love about his content is that he always brings back his culture, the Vietnamese culture, right? He speaks Vietnamese in his videos, right? He incorporates his mom and his dad, right, who speak Vietnamese. He doesn't shy away from it. He's proud of who he is. And I love showcasing that, because I want the next generation to be just as equally proud of their culture and heritage, right? And seeing that, hey, look, that guy does all these cool things. I don't have to be a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer or computer, computer science major, right? I can pursue different things because I see other people who have done it before me and have found success with it, right?
You know that Raymond Lee character that you just described, the character, the content is very interesting, because that dynamic that we have with our parents often is very distant. So not only is he introducing parts of the Vietnamese culture, but he's also introducing a new paradigm on how to behave around our mother, our father, in a different, fresh way. So I think that's very exciting.
It's completely different than the way my relationship with my parents was. And I just think that one thing about Phật culture thus far that's been I've been super happy about is just seeing all these different creators that are just integrating their Vietnamese culture into their content. And just to see that this next generation, because sometimes a lot of people like to write off Gen Z just because, right? There's like this generalized assumption about Gen Z, right? That they've lost their way, or they're not really tied to the culture at all. But realistically, they are. They
And
still
they
love the
are the
food.
culture.
Yeah, they all they love
They
the
are the
food. They
next
still,
culture, yeah.
yeah, they're proud. They still represent the traditional attire. They still celebrate traditions, right? There's nothing that has been lost. It's just the fact that now they're also incorporated into a different community, right? They're not just surrounded by Vietnamese people. They're surrounded by other cultures too, which also, is now reflected into
Yeah.
their upbringing.
This episode is brought to you by Songkhai Distillery, my only go-to gin company. Established in 2018, Songkhai Distillery is Vietnam's first gin distillery, founded by Daniel Nguyen, a Vietnamese American from Southern California. No matter how many people I have at my parties, we are always pouring Songkhai gin. Songkhai Gin is handcrafted in small batches and prioritizes using botanicals and ingredients that are native and heirloom to Vietnam. The result is a product uniquely Vietnamese in taste and aroma. Songkhai is now growing to include rice wine and traditional Vietnamese herbal liqueurs similar to Amaro. Songkhai prides itself in Vietnam, from the farmers who grow the fruits and herbs to the artists behind the artwork and design. Songkhai is a community effort of people who are proud to be Vietnamese and collectively embody the spirit of Vietnam. I never see Gen Z, millennials, Gen X. I never see the lines there. I see it as there are people who care about the culture, and there are people who care about other things in life. And that's fine.
Correct.
Right? All of that's fine. I never see the generational breakdown, because it's just, I see some hardcore Gen Z people like active in the community. I see some hardcore millennials active in the community.
And exactly.
I see guys that are older than me not giving a fuck about the culture, right?
It's true.
It's not about generations. It's about the heart where what they're into. And there's 100%. No delineation for me.
Yeah, 100%. So. And, yeah, it'd be great. Yeah, good.
Yeah, nor do I look at any guys that are my age or older and not caring about the Vietnamese culture. I don't look at them any differently. I just, we're all at different stages in life. But it's great to be around young people who care about the culture. I'll tell you that, for me.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, honestly, it's been beautiful. So,
yeah. So where do you think this is all going? First of all, for you, as an individual, and for your own brand, and then for the group, for the entire sort of like Vietnamese American content creators, where is this all going? Where do you want it all to go?
Where I would want it to go versus where I think it's going, I think they're synonymous, right? I would say that where I see it going is you're going to see a plethora of creators coming from all parts of the world, right? In all different age brackets too. Because what I see now are people being inspired by others that they see, not just from my page, I'm just saying in general on social media, where they feel like, hey, I have the same upbringing, or I have some kind of funny elements about my family that I love to share, right? And now they're feeling more comfortable in sharing it, capturing and sharing it, right? So we're just going to see a bigger and wider offering when it comes to that kind of content in terms of the future. But where I think where I want to go is that my goal by the end of 2024 is to launch a 24/7 streaming channel that's going to be comprised of these Vietnamese content creators from around the world in different categories. So I want to create a home that's beyond the social media page. That's something that anyone can tune into at any time to watch this content live, right? And it'll be curated and done with intention, so that it's basically can be looped and watched, you know, either here or overseas. Right. And I want to make this home available to these creators, because I think that's the missing piece, is that we could create all day on these social media platforms, but we're in this whole sea of other creators that are like, you know, span across different categories and different topics. But in terms of bringing them all together into like this Vietnamese next generation home, that's where I would like to take it. And that's my goal.
That's a big ambition, man. But you got to think big, right?
I never said it's easy. Nothing's easy. Even running for the culture is not easy, right? It's beyond just finding content.
Right, go ahead. Let me break into that. What do you mean by it's not easy? What is it about running for the culture for you that makes it difficult? What is the challenge?
I wouldn't say the word difficult. I'm just saying that it takes work. Right. And I would say the part behind photo culture is that anyone can just post. Right. There's that element. You could post, sure. But there's also the element of actually finding the content that you truly believe will resonate with people that follow your account. Right. Because posting just to post, just because you see something that you might have smirked at, I don't think that's the process. Like, it really has to kind of move the needle for me as a consumer to then feel like, okay, this should be something that's worth sharing. Now, that's one element. The second element is the community engagement. If you actually ever look at my post, I almost respond to every single
Oh,
comment.
that's hard.
Right? In some capacity.
Yeah.
Because it just shows you, hey, that I'm here. I'm not just posting and then ghosting. I post and engage. And I think that's been one of the things that I feel has been part of the success model.
Yep.
Right.
I Little Saigon, Chris said that to me 2 nights ago. He said the same thing. He goes, ever since he started to engage with the comments, the algorithm or something just takes you to another. So for you, I mean, you've been around very briefly, and to amass that is a testament to your engagement.
Yeah, and thank you for that. And the last part is the consistency, right? Being consistent is probably the hardest thing on social media, right? And I post every day of the week, every day. And ever since I figured out, like, hey, if I become consistent with this, there could be some good results. There hasn't been a day I haven't posted, right? And that people expect it too, right? So it's one of those things that, because technically, I cannot post for probably the next 2 weeks, no problem. And my content that's currently posted will continue to get views and comments and hits because it's in the IG algorithm right now, and it just continues to spread out to new people and new people that have never seen the profile before. It's like every day, right? But that's not my goal. My goal is not to sit back and say, oh, I'm good. My goal is to continue to stay consistent, continue to find the entertaining piece of the content that I've seen and continue to share that. Because sharing that, as you can see, this is not a, you don't see my face for the brand, right? My face is not the brand, you know? It's the community's face that's really drives the brand, so.
Were you always this consistent in life?
It's a good question. I would say that I've been consistently consistent with my ventures and not settling. I could say that. So I've always felt that if there's something that I can possibly do and I have a passion for it, I do pursue it. And that goes into even my entrepreneurial ventures, right? I've done stuff like Wichita, but I've also started my own brick and mortar businesses over the past 6 years. And I would say that that's been a consistent thing since I left corporate, right? Back in 2017. And yeah, I feel like with Photoculture, it's a different motivation now,
yeah.
Right? Before, I would say it was more, you could call it selfish purpose, you know, selfish motives. Right? You build a business, you want to make, you know, money, et cetera. With Photoculture, it really is all about how I can impact the community worldwide and not just about me anymore, right? Because there's people that reach out to me that really just want to share something that they've done, and they have no following. They're just, you know, whatever, but they're passionate about what they do. So I make it a point to reach back out to them, say, hey, yeah, I'll be more than willing to help. Love to showcase your stuff. No problem. Right. Without having that barrier of like, oh, well, you got to pay me money just to get your stuff posted. Right. That is the one thing I do not do. I do not gatekeep showcasing people's talents just because, you know, over, you know, trying to have to pay me or anything like that. Right. It's different when it comes to brands, though. Brands are for profit. It's a little different story. But when it comes to creators, I'm more than willing to showcase their work. And that's why I feel like.
But at some point, you'll get requests, and maybe you have in the past, of things that don't align with you. How do you respond to that?
Sorry, can you repeat that again? Sorry.
At some point, you get requests that don't align with
right.
your vision. How do you respond to that?
I usually just thank them for sharing, and then I just let them know, hey, you know, I just actually just thank them for sharing, I don't really give them a reason. They either just share with me. Not many people have asked specifically to be
Why?
reshared. They don't. They don't question like, "Hey, how come you haven't reshared it?" I think people just like to share things with me just to see if, like, "Hey, I find it interesting, I'll reshare it." But for the most part, thus far, no one has really been, "Hey, how come you haven't reshared this?" or giving me any kind of grief about it. But I do thank people just for reaching out, and like I said, I respond to people all the time. It doesn't matter, or I'll get like these message requests. And one funny story I like to share is that this guy mentioned me in a story, and I replied to him, in his story message, and he goes, "Oh, hey, wow, getting a response from a fan of the culture is like getting a message from a celebrity." I was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "I'm very humble, thank you. I don't really see myself as that, right? I don't really look at this as any kind of status. It's just more like, being true and authentic to what the purpose is behind this mission is the most important thing to me, right?"
Yeah,
So.
that's the weird thing about the work that we do. It's like sometimes that those kind of accolades can be kind of jarring, right? It's like, yeah, because we're just like just doing the work. We're just here to amplify and really dig in. I'm really here to satisfy my curiosity about lives in the Vietnamese community. So it's always a little awkward to get those.
And it's even, like I said, because my main purpose here is to like really not show who I am behind the scenes and showcase myself publicly. I It's even weirder when people are like kind of like treated that way, right? Or so.
So, what does it mean to be Vietnamese to you, man?
Being Vietnamese to me is understanding my history, my personal history, where I came from, where my family came from, and even as a community, like our history, but also realizing not to let that history hold us back from making great progress as a Vietnamese community, together, right? So I will never forget where I came from and where, what my family went through, but I'll always remember that I need to take this opportunity that I have, this limited opportunity that I have, not just with other culture, just in general with life, to do what I can for the Vietnamese culture, right? And how do we take that and expand on that moving forward for the next generation, right? So that's what it means to me.
And do you ever go to Vietnam?
Haven't been back to Vietnam since 2011. It's been a long time. I know a lot has changed since then, but for me, I want to go back as soon as possible because I know a lot has changed. But when the time comes, I'll be ready. I'll be excited. So.
Yeah, it's a good answer because, yeah, there's a lot that has happened since the last 12 years in Vietnam, and it's wild the how developed the country has become, and to think that there are satellite versions of the people from the homeland outside of Vietnam, where the satellite, the diaspora of these people, it's like, you go back there and you're just like, you see the same, you see people that look like you hear the language, and you eat the food, and it's such a dynamic experience. But at the same time, you're like, well, I was there in 2011, and it was so different. And how has the culture moved so much, but yet has not really changed, because we are still Vietnamese.
I'm really proud of how Vietnam has developed and evolved over the last 10 years, honestly. It's been amazing to see the opportunities that the country has had with all these different companies investing into the country, right? Providing a middle class that never existed, right? There was really no middle class back then, right? 10, 15 years ago. And
I'll
it's
go as
amazing.
I'll go as far as to say this. A lot of people in the United States, particularly like our parents' generation, if they're not tuned in to what's going on in Vietnam, they'll ask, when is the reconciliation going to happen? When I get that quite often, where when is Vietnam going to change, blah, blah. I'm like, honestly, this started happening in the early 90s. Like, the U.S. was sending delegations, political delegations under, like, under the cloak of night, under, you know, very discreetly sending delegations. Canada was sending delegations in 94 to see how they can infuse capitalism into the communist sort of like skin, right? Like the optics of it all. These were happening with Vietnamese American, Vietnamese diaspora delegations going back and forth. Vietnam was sending their delegations, you know, and this is all public information because I've talked about this on the podcast with these guests. They were sending education delegations back to the Ivy League colleges to figure out how to do academic freedom in a way that doesn't like create turmoil in their systems. So they have been thinking about these integration processes for the last 20 years. And what we're seeing is skyscrapers, and what we're seeing is like steel and metal, concrete, all built out in Vietnam. But the deeper infrastructure of the mentality, they've been sending their children to schools in America alongside with me in the 90s, you know, from the government officials. Who's running the country now and in the next 10, 15 years? It's the people that went to school with me, with you, all over the US that are now going back to Vietnam, and we're seeing the change now, you know? So if there's any doubt out there, it's changed 20 years ago, but we're just seeing it now.
It's a proud moment regardless, you know, and I think that Vietnam's just going to continue to grow quickly, rapidly, and it's an exciting time to be Vietnamese. I don't look at myself all the time as just a Vietnamese American. I look at myself as just being a Vietnamese person. Just being Vietnamese and being proud of that fact regardless. So if anyone is doing anything anywhere and they are representing our culture, it's a proud moment. So.
And the question that my friend asked me last night about why not promote Asian American and really get into stretching outside beyond the Vietnamese. I think that the work that I do in particular to highlighting Vietnamese American or Vietnamese diaspora lives or Vietnamese in the homeland is that the more work that I do within the Vietnamese community, the more empathy I have for other communities. I have a deep compassion for the white community, for the Mexican community, for the Black community. The more I get to know my history and my internal struggles with my culture, I'm just much more open to understanding and being open to the other cultures that surround us every day.
That's right. Yeah, I think when it comes to being very, I would say, hyper-focused on one particular area, which in this case is our Vietnamese community and culture, obviously, yeah, there's plenty of opportunities to say, like, hey, I want you to broaden your scope, right? Broaden what your purpose is or your approach. And for me, no one's has really said that to me, but for someone like you, it makes more sense that, hey, you still have a long way to go yourself to dig in as deep as you can, right? You haven't found, like, you haven't hit the bottom yet, right? Yeah. As you continue to dig. And until we hit that bottom, which I think is just it's just a forever process, there's really no reason that we have to kind of shift our focus elsewhere.
Right. And so, we're enjoying the journey. I enjoy this
exactly.
So much. It's an immense pleasure Likewise. For me to get to know people like you and you know, Johnny over VidQ Media and Chris Tran, all these, you know, it's like chilling with the homies, you know?
Yeah, it's great because we kind of all have we all have an aligned perspective with the way we see the community, even though we're doing things in our own way and taking our own path, because we have that synergy. I feel that's really important, right? That's this, we're building this, like, I would say, like, camaraderie, right? When it comes to, like, okay, how do we approach the Vietnamese culture within our different communities, and how do we kind of say, hey, what can we do as a collective versus like individuals, right? Because even you having me on today, like I told you on the messages, I'm like, I feel honored because I've seen your content, I've seen your work, I appreciate what you do and and the people you've spoken to. And it's an honor just to even be approached to come on and talk to you, because to me, I don't look for any accolades. I don't look for any thank yous. I really just want to do this and continue to do it for the people I'm featuring, right? It's not about me. It really isn't. And it will never be about me. And I want to make sure that that continues, from now until as long as this grows. So.
I'm like I said, I'm honored that you feel honored. You know, it's such a it's really a deep privilege to hear that. And here's where you and I are different, though. What I do is entirely from my curiosity. It is.
Here's the thing though, that's fine, and I think that's
Yeah.
just like,
It's
I'll
two
give you an
different, you know, it's
example.
two different people,
Yeah.
right? Like having two different motivations. And I do this, it's 'cause I'm just greedy for information, and I'm greedy to know about you and, you know, all these people. I'm just always so hungry for information and details about, I'm such a nosy person that I'm curious and nosy that I would just want to get into everybody's lives.
But here's the thing, though. It's called the Vietnamese podcast, right? Your purpose is still for the community
Absolutely.
and the culture.
Yeah.
And I think regardless of your personal wants out of this, your overall mission still holds, is reflects your purpose with the community. So,
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. Yeah, what good is it for me to just hold all this information and interviews? You know, it definitely sharing it is paramount to sitting here and spend. Why would anybody want to spend time if I'm just going to keep it all to myself, right?
Exactly. And for the culture, is exactly the same
Yes.
way. I
Yeah.
could literally consume what I'm watching and say, like, okay, I enjoyed it, but why not share that with some other people,
Yeah.
right? And I want to continue to do this as long as I can. I feel like this is probably the best time ever, because when you think about life, it's all about timing. I mean, 3 months ago, I didn't even think this was even a possibility, right? But then it. I look back and I think about the content that I saw then to post,
Yeah.
it was all timing. If it was 2 months prior to that, the content was not be the same. It wouldn't have I wouldn't have found that viral piece gave this trajectory or made this trajectory possible, right? So really it all boils down to timing.
All this stuff
And
is tough.
I'm gonna take that kind of opportunity to say, hey, let's run with it, right? Because when you're given this window, you got to open it as wide as possible, right? Because it's gonna shut on you really quickly. And I want to make sure that photoculture doesn't just stay where it is now, it just continues to evolve, which is why I mentioned that my goal is to do like that 24/7 stream. No easy feat, but it will take a village to actually make that happen. And I'm proud to that. I'm proud to say that I've connected with the creators that I've not only showcased here, but creators that people haven't seen yet. And we're working on it in the back end to make this happen in Thut. So I'm excited.
Well, that's a big commitment. That's like right around the corner. Yeah, that's hardcore. Well, let's get back on and discuss it a few weeks or months after you've lift off.
Yeah, definitely. We'd love to.
Yeah, I'd love to hear the scope of it once it's out, and I want to hear the challenges. I want to hear the successes. I want to get to hear all the nitty-gritty details of that project.
Yeah, we'll definitely be more than happy to share and chat with you on that later on. And look, I say it with a lot of humility and being very humble that it's not going to be some kind of grand thing off the gate. It's going to be very grassroots, very organic, but it will be authentic in its approach, meaning that the purpose that this streaming channel will have, the purpose of the streaming channel will be very transparent to everybody, is what I'm trying to say,
Very
right?
cool. That's
So,
a very cool point, and I look forward to it.
yeah, thank you. I appreciate the support.
All right, Kai, well, have a wonderful rest of the year, and we will catch up again, I'm sure, very soon.
Thank you so much, Ken. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. And once again, Really appreciate and humbled that you had me on. Thank you.
Likewise, I feel the same.
Thank you for listening to The Vietnamese with Kenneth Nguyen. Special thanks to Brittany Tran, to Jane Nguyen, Catherine Nguyen, Tina Pham, Sydney Jamie, and Christo Trinh. Please find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at The Vietnamese Podcast.